This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just, it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Glad to have you along with us as we're just a day away from broadcasting live in Chicago as part of Big Ten Media Days. Half the teams will roll in tomorrow, like Ohio State, the defending national champion, and then Nebraska among the teams that will roll in on Friday. And Randy Bushcutter and I will be live in Chicago Thursday and Friday. And of course, as we always do, we'll bring back a lot of great interviews for you to hear throughout the early portion of August as fall camp gets underway, and should be a lot of fun. So we have a new format this year. Means that we'll talk to half the teams on Thursday and half the teams on Friday. Keynote speaker, we'll get a chance to catch up Nate Sudfeld, the quarterback out of Indiana. It's interesting when you look at Nebraska's schedule this year, who's on it, who's not. Maybe some of the stories are about some of the teams that are not on the schedule, with not playing Ohio State, not playing Michigan, not playing Penn State, some of the big boys in the East. And it will always come down a little bit to how the schedule plays out. We've had fun in our first 13 days of 14 teams in 14 days, especially this week with Michigan and Iowa, talking about the Wolverines and Hawkeyes. But today, as always, before we take off for media days, we preview Nebraska. Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal-Star, Mike Babcock of Hail Varsity, and Sean Callahan of Husker Online will all be a part of our discussion, which will fill up the majority of our show today. But we're also going to play you the short acceptance speech from Loper, former Harlan Hill Final quarterback Justin Coleman. This past weekend, he was inducted into the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference Hall of Fame. Of course, the Lopers had been a member of the RMAC, now getting ready for their fourth year in the MIAA. Justin, never won for a lot of words, but it's about a 2.5-minute acceptance speech. We'll play that for you here momentarily. And then later on in the show, we'll catch up with Steve, Mike, and Sean to talk a little Husker football. But up first, I want to talk about a great night last night. Again, the Kansas City Royals continued to roll. Eric Hosmer had 3 of the 5 Royals hits, but this was a pitcher's duel. 1-1, top of the ninth. Royals have nobody on, 2 out. A 3-2 pitch to Hosmer.
So now it's up to Hos. The wind and 3-2 pitch. Hosmer swings and drives it down the right field line, into the corner, and gone! A home run by Eric Hosmer, and the Royals have taken a 2-1 lead in the ninth.
So the Royals hang on for that 2-1 victory, and in a few minutes here, they will get the final game of the series underway, and you can hear it on the Breeze, 94.5 FM, with the early 11-10 start. Also yesterday, the Royals acquired utility man Ben Zorbist from the Oakland A's, who also sent a little cash over. The Royals had to give up right-hander Aaron Brooks and minor league left-hander Sean Manea. How many years did we sit here and say, here's who the Royals gave up, here's who the Royals gave up, here's who the Royals... And finally, it's just fun as part of the rejuvenation of the Kansas City Royals, who are now 8-9 games up now in the American League Central. Minnesota, the teams can't catch them. The Royals right now are red hot. As we know, the Royals always seem to find a way, and they've done it this year, where they hit the skids a little bit. They went 2-9 at a one stretch earlier this year. Hard to believe with their record. They already have 60 wins. That's just amazing. And Kansas City is in the midst of a 10-game road trip. Johnny Cueto will get his first start as a Royal Friday up in Toronto. So the Royals have some work to do on the road during this 10-game trip, but they've started it well at 2-0. American Legion Baseball Tournaments Class B and C finished up with their area tournaments last night, except for a couple spots that were delayed by rain. And the Class A junior and senior state tournaments will wrap up tonight. In Hastings at Duncan Field yesterday, Millard South eliminated Grand Island Home Federal by a score of 9-3. And then Papillion-La Vista South stayed undefeated in the tournament by beating Lincoln Pius X 7-6. So the teams will play today, Millard South and Papio South at 4 o'clock. If Millard wins the first one, that would force a second game. The National Division at Omaha Westside, Columbus. Maybe a surprise here out of the Cornhusker Division. They're the last team alive, considering what North Platte and Grand Island and Kearney, Hastings had all done this year. Columbus beats Bellevue West 8-6, and then Omaha Creighton Prep knocks out the host Westside 6-5. They'll play at 4 o'clock. If Columbus wins, then they'll have forced a second game against Creighton Prep. And the Class A juniors wrap up today in Fremont. Yesterday, Millard South beat Millard North 10-4, and then North Platte scored 4 runs with 2 outs in the 9th inning to beat Grand Island 5 points, 11-7, but it was 5 points first loss, so North Platte will play Millard South today at 5:30, and then the winner of that will turn right around and take on Grand Island 5 points in the championship game, which will get underway at 8 or a little bit after. So best of luck to our area teams. Now looking at the Class B area senior tournaments last night, Beatrice beat Aurora 6-4. Albion goes to state, downing Wakefield 9-7, and McCook 14-3 over Broken Bow. The Class B field looks like this. In Cozad, starting on Saturday, McCook will play the 11 a.m. game against Swain Construction. Then at 2, Albion will play Beatrice. At 5, Ogallala will play Blair. And at 8 o'clock, as the host, Cozad will play the final game against the Area 1 champion, which will be determined tonight between Syracuse and Hickman. In Class C, Dannebrog Carroll Bolas beat David City 10-5 to advance to the finals, but Shelton Gibbon then picked up a 2-0 win to advance to state. Alma goes to state with an 11-1 win over Imperial, and Bruning Davenport Shickley beat Geneva 3-1. The Class C state tournament will be played in Battle Creek Saturday. Shelton Gibbon will have the first game at 11 a.m. against either Pender or Takema Herman. Then Bruning Davenport will play the Area 3 champion at 2 o'clock. Alma will play at 5 o'clock against Louisville Weeping Water, and the host Battle Creek will play Crofton at 8 o'clock. The tournaments will run through August the 5th. So that's an update on what's going on with the baseball tournaments. Also, the state men's amateur delayed 3 hours because of rain yesterday in the eastern part of the state. It's being played at Indian Creek in Elkhorn. So with the large field of 156 golfers, they didn't quite get done. Just a handful of golfers were still on the course this morning, and then the resumption of the round was delayed by lightning in the area, but making the cut from the area and the leader is David Easley. We'll start there from Lincoln at 369. He's at 5-under, one shot better than Jose Vega of Bellevue. Alex Shockey, the junior amateur champion out of Omaha, is 3rd at 2-under. Riley Reinertsen of Gibbon is even through 2 rounds and is currently tied for 4th. Michael Colgate, who of course had been playing golf for the Lopers and now will transfer to Nebraska this season, he has also made the cut. There are a few other golfers from the area that are a little bit farther down the list, like Loper coach Wes Burnt. He is going to make it. Cray Detoit of Grand Island is in there. Cale Benson of Grand Island is in there. Jordan Reinertsen of Gibbon right on the cut line as well. So they will compete both today and tomorrow to wrap up the 107th Nebraska Amateur. Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC, and Midway Cadillac Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. Don't forget that right now, currently 16 trucks with over $8,000 of manufacturer suggested retail price, and there are a handful that have almost $10,000 in savings when you're looking at a great Ram truck. 55 brand new Ram 1500, 2500, and 3500 trucks in stock. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram has the best selection and a great deal with their hassle-free pricing. So enjoy your summer even more with a new Ram truck. Whatever it is you're looking for, new or pre-owned, stop by and see them. The new Midway Auto Outlet is open for business also on South 2nd Avenue with over 250 used vehicles to choose from. And you can see them all at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. A Wednesday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show continues after this. We will hear the RMAC acceptance speech from former Loper Justin Coleman, and then it is our Husker Roundtable. Steve Sipple, Sean Callahan, Mike Babcock will talk about a half hour of Nebraska football coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center. Every baseball fan has respect for Major League Baseball's past, present, and future. And it comes alive at the Museum of Nebraska Major League Baseball in downtown St. Paul. Dedicated to illustrating the careers of over 150 men with Nebraska ties who have made it to the majors. Enjoy Hall of Fame exhibits featuring Alexander, Gibson, Boggs, Vance, Ashburn, Crawford, and Southworth. The Museum of Nebraska Major League Baseball, a place you've got to see in downtown St. Paul. Open daily 9:30 to 4:30 and Saturday 10 to 2.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A three-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire...
Kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll stay with partly to mostly sunny conditions across the area today with a high up into the mid-80s. Winds out of the north will stay at about 5 to 10. Now with a clear sky tonight, we'll head down to 58 for a low. I'm Weather Eye Meteorologist Paul Frobley. Right now, 73.
Show on ESPN Radio as you get ready for a little lunch or anytime because they're open 7 days a week for lunch, an appetizer in the afternoon or your evening meal or just to sit back, kick back, relax, watch your favorite sporting events, play a little Keno, enjoy your favorite beverage. We're all talking about the Kearney Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill. No one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. Whether you want bone-in or boneless wings with over a dozen sauces, including the new mango habanero. You can get it on a lot of sandwiches. There's salads. You can put it on the chicken that you put on your salad as well. So many choices. Maybe you're in the mood to feed the family with one of their big home-style pizzas, but there's something for everyone, whether it's an appetizer, whether it's something for the kids, whether you want a big old hearty steak or some ribs, they've got that for you as well, all in the comfort of the Kearney Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill. No one combines the best of both like the Kearney Chicken Coop. Stop in for lunch or an appetizer or your evening meal today. Well, as we said over the weekend, Justin Coleman, who was a Harlan Hill finalist for the University of Nebraska at Kearney at quarterback, which really kind of turned the corner a little over a decade ago for Loper Athletics, 15 years ago, really. He was inducted into the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference Hall of Fame, one of the Lopers to join that, and you wonder how many more will get in now that UNK is no longer affiliated with the RMAC. But Justin, not always one for words. We've had him on the Doug and Daddy Show before, going into Hall of Fames and even when he played. But he did have a short acceptance speech, and here's what Justin had to say out in Colorado Springs on Saturday.
First, I'd like to thank the RMAC for this honor. It's a great honor. I'm humbled. And I guess growing up playing sports, it's not something you think about as being in a Hall of Fame, you know, because we kind of think about just our love for the game, want to compete, and those type of things. So it's a great honor. First, I want to give a shout-out to my wife. I know my mom's taping this, but she's back home with her three daughters. We live in Omaha, so we thought we'd come make it a family vacation. It's probably a little tough to pile in three girls ages 8 to 2 and take them 9 hours on a car trip. So we just kind of made the trip, went halfway with my mom and my cook, and then drove on in here today. So I want to say thank you. Actually, my wife, she's dated since my fresh year in college, so she's been with me quite a while, so she stuck it through. Like many others, my parents, my father was a coach. He passed away suddenly about 10 years ago as well, and then my mom's here, so they've been my biggest supporters through this all, and without them, I traveled many, many miles to come watch. like I said, the reason why I think athletes play their chosen sports is because they like it. They have a competitive bone in their body. But for me, and I think the thing that I've taken away the most is just the people I've met. The people at UNK. I got a fellow player here, Trevor, who showed up to support me. So I think that's what I take from it is just the people and the relationships you make. Guys on my team, we're buddies, and you spend 12-hour bus rides. You can't help but like them. So I guess being the farthest east school in the RMAC at the time, we did a lot of traveling. So, but like I said, it's a great honor, a great privilege to be a RMAC Hall of Famer, and I thank you, and I thank the people that I've met along the way, especially the people at UNK, all the coaches and fellow players that couldn't have done without it. I mean, football is kind of probably the biggest team sport. We got 11 guys out there trying to make it happen. So I thank you, and also thank you. Congratulations to the other award recipients tonight. It's all well-deserved. Thank you.
Former Loper quarterback Justin Coleman and his acceptance speech at the RMAC Hall of Fame Awards Banquet out in Colorado Springs this weekend. Well, don't forget, folks, that the Alzheimer's Walk is coming up next month in Kearney, and it seems a little ways away, but don't wait to the last minute to help us reach our goal. We need your pledge right now. Join a team or our team here on the Doug and Daddy Show for helping put an end to Alzheimer's. It's easy. All you have to do is go to our website at ESPNSuperstation.com, click on the purple Alzheimer's Walk banner, the color that goes with Alzheimer's, and then click the Kearney Walk. Follow the directions. If you want to donate to my team, the Doug and Daddy team, all you have to do is type in my name, Doug Duda, or you can just do whatever you want. There's a lot of other teams in the Kearney area that will be a part of the walk. Maybe you're associated with one of those, and you can find out the information about joining. Any size pledge will help to end Alzheimer's. When we come back, our 14th team in 14 days, the Nebraska Cornhuskers, as we get ready for media days Thursday and Friday in Chicago, we will have our Husker Roundtable with Sean Callahan, Mike Babcock, and Steve Sipple coming your way next.
A better place to live doesn't have to be a dream. Not when there's somewhere where you can make new friends, have new things to see and do, and become a part of a caring community. All on the most affordable of terms. Affordable senior housing at Good Samaritan Society Goldbeck Towers makes this a reality to seniors 62 and older who meet HUD guidelines. Contact a housing professional at Goldbeck Towers for more information on affordable housing or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Hey, Nebraska, are you ready to save big on your next set of pickup or SUV tires? Then get to Big O Tires now. During our huge buy three tires, get the fourth free sale. You'll save 25% on Cooper Discover, Nitto Crosstech, and Mesa AP tires. Whether you drive a pickup, SUV, crossover, or van, there's no forms to fill out or rebates to wait for. Just an immediate savings of 25% when you buy three tires and get the fourth free only at Big O Tires, the team you trust.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right. The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you wanted. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com.
The Kool-Aid Days Festival comes to Hastings, August 7th, 8th, and 9th. How are you going to participate? Be a chef and cook in our first Cooking with Kool-Aid contest, open to kids and adults. Create a jammer's boat for the races at the Aqua Court on Friday afternoon. Have a special talent? Perform on the Stage of Dreams on Saturday. Run or walk in the Fun Run Sunday morning. Or if boating's your thing, build a cardboard boat for the races on Lake Hastings Sunday. And of course, you can always volunteer to help make the Kool-Aid Days Festival a fun weekend. How can you be a part of Kool-Aid Days? Check out all the options at KoolAidDays.com.
Ready for our Husker Roundtable. Let's take a look at our Midtown Bar Cooler question. Midtown Bar of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. With Boston dropping out of their bid for the Olympics, which city in the United States would you like to see in for the 2024 Olympics? 60% went with Los Angeles. A few of you voted for Omaha. A couple votes in there for San Francisco. Today we ask you, who has made the best trades to make a deep run in the Major League Baseball playoffs? Maybe some names. Again, we joked that just a handful of years ago you wouldn't have even considered. Royals, Astros, Blue Jays. Vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question anytime at ESPNSuperstation.com. Who has made the best trades to make a deep playoff run? The Royals, Astros, or Blue Jays?
It's that time. 14 teams in 14 days, where we'll preview a different team each day, leading you up to the Big Ten Media Days, July 30th and 31st in Chicago. We're headed to the West Division for today's team. Your Nebraska Cornhuskers.
The day before Big Ten Media Days is always the Husker Roundtable, and we are pleased every year to talk to these gentlemen throughout the year. But before the season, end of the season, I think they're two of the better chats that we have here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So our 14th team in our 14 teams in 14 days, obviously the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And we've got Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star, Mike Babcock from Hale Varsity, and of course Sean Callahan from Husker Online joining us on the program. And gentlemen, good morning. Thanks for the time. And let's talk a little Big Red football as we get ready for a new media days tomorrow, which will be maybe a little bit exciting. And there's a lot of buzz around the conference. But let's start with how Nebraska has changed. We talked about it at the end of the year. Now we went through spring game. We went through recruiting. So how do you see Nebraska different today than after the bowl game last year? And Sip, I'll start with you.
How do I see Nebraska different?
Yeah, what do you think? What's the most significant difference, maybe, that you see?
Well, I mean, the offense. I mean, it's hard to say for sure because you don't know what form it's going to take. But there's two things. You don't know exactly how they're going to approach that. But also, you know what? The thing I really look at it, I think it gets glossed over maybe a little bit, is that they're going to be without three really dynamic athletes that are probably going to be playing in the NFL. And it's now how are they going to make up for Amir Abdullah, Randy Gregory, and Kenny Bell? I just wonder sometimes if people understand the magnitude of losing three guys that were that dynamic. I mean, talented, okay. I'll make this real quick. They're not only talented, extremely talented players, but think about the presence they had, especially Bell and Abdullah. Their presence was gigantic on that team. And you know what? They had big personalities. They had forceful wills. And those are losses that I wonder what kind of impact.
Sean, which one do you think will be the hardest to replace?
Well, there's no question it's going to be Amir Abdullah. I mean, you talk about what he did at Nebraska, number two all-time leading rusher, the leadership he brought, just the durability, the versatility. I mean, he was kind of a Swiss Army knife player from Nebraska that could do about anything you wanted him to do. I mean, return kicks, punts if you needed him to, catch the ball, run the ball, take 30 carries in a game. I mean, you just don't replace that, and they have it yet. And I think when you look at the players they have at running back, this is the most wide open the running back position has maybe been since 2002. That's when I go back when Darren Dedrick and Josh Davis and some of those guys were there. I mean, I guess it would have been 2003 where Josh Davis was the starter. Then Corey Ross unseated him that year and ended up becoming the guy in 2004 and 2005. But they've always had an NFL guy at running back since 2003. This is the first time you don't really know who that guy is.
We'll come back to that running back because, as we've all discussed in the spring and early summer here on the Doug and Daddy Show, I think that is the biggest question mark for me. But Mike Babcock, Hail Varsity, how do you feel differently with this coaching change compared to all the ones we've had since Tom Osborne retired?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot of enthusiasm for this coaching staff because of Mike Riley's personality and the way things went in the spring and there was some access and that sort of thing. There's this great enthusiasm because obviously this team hadn't been on the field and played against anybody yet. So we don't have that. We don't have answers to questions about very specific things about him, whether this team's going to be successful or not, to what degree it would be successful. I just think the enthusiasm is probably the big thing here. But, it's the same as I didn't think that Frank Solich should have been replaced. He was replaced. I didn't take any great delight in the fact that Bo Pelini was replaced. I think that the things with Bill Callahan, it looked like maybe a change was necessary at that point, but I think that maybe some of the attacks on him became a little bit personal. I think that was unfair. I think he's a good coach, probably a bad fit at Nebraska. It's just there are elements of each of those changes that I could probably look at and say maybe there are some parallels to this situation, but it's hard for me. Change is difficult for me anyway. I'm a person of routine, and so wait and see attitude is what I've taken. I make no assumptions going into this season. Although I know that again, I think there's a lot of enthusiasm.
It's the Husker Roundtable here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. We'll get to Sean and some of the recruits and the new guys that could impact. But first we'll go to Sip and Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star. there were some departures, and there have been some departures, not just Johnny Stanton leaving, and we see that Mauro Bondi is going to go kick at Hawaii, so I guess that's good for him. But we've had some departures that were not necessarily maybe, hey, I want to go play some at where else related. You don't hear a lot about what the specifics are, grades, other things. We've lost some wide receivers, lost a linebacker. How do you see all these departures since spring, Sip?
Sean always puts it really well in our conversations that it's kind of you're pulling weeds out of the yard. I mean, some of it's just that. You're kind of cleaning things up a little bit. Some of it's just necessary changes. Some of it's probably individual stuff that we don't know about. I mean, we're just not privy to everything, nor should we be privy to everything. Now, Johnny Stanton, when they told him he wasn't going to be part of that 105 for the start of preseason camp, I mean, that was effectively telling him you're not part of our plans. So I think the decision was kind of made for Johnny, unfortunately. David Santos, the linebacker, the senior linebacker who, you know, figured to play, that's the mystery to me. That's the one I'd really like to know what happened. That's the one I'll ask. I'm really interested to ask Riley about this week in Chicago. Glenn Irons, Jariah Tolbert, hard to know exactly. Exactly, although I think we have some pretty good idea about Jariah Tolbert because he had those brushes with the law. I think that was pretty transparent, to be honest. Leroy Alexander, hard to know exactly, although, again, maybe best for both. I don't know. They're big, though. I mean, losing Leroy Alexander, he was going to play. He was going to be a part of the secondary, whether he started or not. He was going to be in that rotation. Santos, again, I don't know. Maybe he wouldn't have come back right. Maybe it was injury-related, why he's not coming back. If he would have come back strong, he would have been a big part of it, you would think. So, yeah, I mean, those fairly significant losses, actually, although I think they're okay at receiver.
Sean Callahan, Husker Online. With some of these departures and with what maybe some of the new guys did in the spring, where could we see the freshman or the redshirt freshman have an impact on this football team?
Well, you have to start on defense. I think at linebacker number one, Dedrick Young, being here early, he's got a legitimate chance not only to play, but maybe to start. I mean, it's really between him and Marcus Newby for that third linebacker role after Banderas and Michael Rose Ivy. And then I think Muhammad Berry, you know, he was a special, special talent in high school. He's in Lincoln now. There were a lot of questions on his academics. That's why the SEC kind of let this kid go. I mean, if his grades were in line early, he's going to Auburn or Georgia or somewhere deep south. And he had to kind of wait on him, and Nebraska did, and they got him, and he's ready to go. And I think he's somebody that could make an impact. We already know Aaron Williams is going to play. You know, Brian Stewart, the secondary coach, has told me that he's got the potential to be a three-year starter. They really like Aaron Williams at safety and what he's going to bring. You know, the corner position, there's a lot of young talent there. Right now, today, Davey and Jonathan Rose would be your starters. Kalu's your nickel. But I do think, you know, we know Chris Jones and some of these other younger players are going to make an impact as well. So the secondary is good. On offense, you know, I think it's hard for freshmen to come in and make impacts at every position, but we know receivers, one, you can do it, and there's two good ones coming in, LeVan Austin and Stanley Morgan. I think both of those two freshman receivers, especially with the turnover of Tolbert and Iron and some other guys, they got a real chance. And then Matt Snyder at tight end. You know, with the tight end numbers Nebraska has, I think he's a natural to come in and have a chance to make an impact.
Mike Babcock from Hale Varsity. I always like asking Mike about covering the team and how it's changed throughout the years. And just in the last week, we know you're going to get the alternative uniforms. And we know that the press wants to put out a little poll, and we'll get to that. And then earlier this week, Nebraska named a sports psychiatrist for the football team. would this have some people rolling over? Does this have you kind of rolling your eyes, or why are things like this so important now to make sure that every individual that wears a Husker uniform is pampered to the best?
Well, are we talking about the team psychiatrist, or are we talking about the uniforms?
They're vastly different.
Or is there a correlation between those two? And the psychiatrist should be talking to the old people like myself that are so locked in tradition that they find a hard time identifying black as one of the school colors.
It's not there very often, is it?
No, it's not. But, you know, Jack Stark served in that capacity for Tom Osborne and played a significant role, and I think it's important. I think it's an important role. So that part didn't surprise me. I think that's a good decision. I think it's very much an important part of a coaching staff to have that. So that to me seemed like a logical decision, because I think Jack Stark had a significant impact on Nebraska's success in those championship years, and I think it's very, very important in this day and age to cover all the bases, which is part of the reason that they do the alternate uniforms. I'm sure. I mean, if that has an impact on recruiting in some way, I'll accept that. I mean, if that's what it takes, if that can have a significant effect on someone from the standpoint of a young guy in high school looks at that and says, "Hey, that's cool. I'll give him a look," and then I think it's worth it. But you're not gonna get the guy because of that. You might get the interest in the guy, and then he comes here and he sees what's available and what Nebraska can offer. And I think that's what sells a recruit. But if he gets a foot in the door somehow by doing these alternate uniforms because everybody's doing it, I think it's a positive thing. I like alternate uniforms, like was the 300 sellout when they did the throwback to the 62 Husker, so it looked like a Husker uniform, better than the all black or whatever. I think it's all part of a piece of the puzzle now. You know, that's the way the importance of recruiting. If there's some sort of advantage that you can gain with alternate uniforms in recruiting, then I say that people need to deal with it.
Our Husker Roundtable here on the Doug and Daddy Show before heading to Chicago for Big Ten Media Day. Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star, Sean Callahan, Husker Online, Mike Babcock of Hail Varsity. And we will continue and wrap it up with more of our Husker Roundtable right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Now is a great time to load up on the long-lasting power of Energizer Max family of double and AAA batteries. The fact is, the Max Energizer batteries hold their power for up to 10 years while in storage, so you have power when you need it most. Plus, the AA and AAA sizes offer leakage protection for up to 2 years after fully used when left in low-drain devices. No dead, leaky batteries to spoil your fun. Let EverReady and Hardware Hank make sure you have all the power you need when you need it most.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect a fish from his environment, the Armacoating Spray-On Bed Liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armacoating Spray-On Bed Liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Welcome to Fanatics for the Battle with the Heat. Tom's in the bullpen beer garden. Tom?
It's time for a relief pitcher. They could call in a wide range of draft picks like Budweiser or Coors Light. Oh, and let's not forget the European players. Oh, bit of a changeup. They're going to go with Margarita.
Tom, how's the view of the game from the bullpen?
We have plenty of seats in the shade near the HDTVs, and there's lots of fans out here.
The game plan against the Heat this baseball season starts with a call to the bullpen at Fanatics Sports Bar on Central Avenue, Kearney.
It's been a long day. It's cold outside and your car is on E. Ugh. Okay, I'll go to Fast Bills. Because when I walk in, I know that I will be greeted with a fresh brewed tea or coffee and a smile. A good joke and sometimes a bad one, but the point is they remember their customers and treat them like friends. So all of a sudden, filling up is something you look forward to. Bassfields Plaza, your Senex station, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Fill your tank with Senex gasoline and fill your tummy with all your favorite munchies.
Major League Baseball on ESPN Radio. A few of the biggest surprises in baseball this season have come from the Bronx as the Yankees continue to lead the way in the AL East, and they're being led by Alex Rodriguez.
Alex Rodriguez the other way.
The Bombers continue their 10-game road trip as they face Josh Hamilton and the Rangers. The Yankees and Rangers.
Catch all the action Wednesday night at 7 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Continue our Husker Roundtable brought to you by our friends at T&L Irrigation. T&L is like no other. They feature real-time kinematic accuracy and wheel angle sensor for true tracking on their great pivot systems and the new GPS navigation corner system. T&L, you're looking at your field. I hope it's a good one. I hope things are going well for you this year. And you might have a T&L in there if it is. If you don't, contact your local T&L dealer, like Derek Wagner at Wagner Irrigation in Holdridge, Bill Shapley at Mid-States Irrigation in Kearney. The choice is simple. You can go to TLIRR.com to find out everything you need to know about hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation systems that don't start and stop, don't spoke. You can use the GPS so you don't have to go out to the field every day, twice a day, three times a day to change direction, to start and stop it, to get what you need done. Ease, simplicity, and money in the bank. That's what it's all about with T&L Irrigation Systems. Mike Babcock, Hail Varsity. We're also talking to Sean Callahan from Husker Online and the Lincoln Journal star Steve Sipple as we continue our Husker Roundtable. We'll be talking to you from Chicago tomorrow at Big Ten Media Days. Guys, I'll throw out a couple questions that we really ask all our analysts about the teams we've been talking about. Sip, as you said here before we go into fall camp, the strength of the Husker team is what?
The defensive line. Excuse me, particularly the interior of the defensive line. I mean, those two guys, we've said more than, Malik Collins is Malik Collins. You know what you're going to get from him. Vincent can be a force. Now, he's one of the most intriguing players on the team to me. It's not a given, though. I think you can say Malik is a given. But Vincent could be very, very good, and I mean all Big Ten good, if he decides he wants to be that good. And that's what we got to figure out. That's what we're gonna figure out. You know, his weight has been an issue. There's no doubt about it. And his, his work ethic has been an issue. But his talent and strength is not an issue. When he wants to play, and there have been a lot of times he's been that way, he's as good as you're going to find. And those two guys can be as good as you're going to find, but they have to be good. Because you got to get to the quarterback now, and Nebraska doesn't have a dynamic rusher. They don't have one. On the edge. They just don't. Unless there's somebody coming that I don't know about. Coming off the edge at defensive end, they just don't have that guy. It's not the starters, and it's not Freedom. So I think those two inside guys are going to have to be good, but I do. I think they're really good.
Sean, do you think that the team, and we talked about the linebacker depth, we've talked about the openness at running back. I know we've talked about this quite a few times, that there might be a platoon system there. Outside of what Sip says, are there plenty of weaknesses on this team, or would you categorize them as weakness? Usually you can kind of pick out one spot. Are there more? Is there more than one spot for the Huskers?
Linebacker, to me, is definitely the number one weakness. To go in a spring ball with just four scholarship guys, and you lost one of those four now, David Santos, and they moved over Luke Gifford, so they had five to start. But the pure numbers and experience at the linebacker position, it may be the worst we've seen at Nebraska in a long time, and that just goes back to recruiting misses. But that's my number one question, weakness, concern. I'm not as worried on offense. I think running back, there's talent there, but there's still questions. You know, talk about strength. So one thing that Sip didn't mention, I think the special teams with Sam Fultz and DeMornay Personnel, if you're going to pinpoint a strength, a year ago, Nebraska was number one in the nation in average starting field position on offense. They started their drives nearly, I believe, the 35 or 36-yard line, and that was obviously because of Personnel and Fultz. With what they did in the return game, especially, and then their defensive field position, I believe, was 19th in the nation, where teams started their drive down like the 25. So their ability to have field position with those guys was a huge, huge stat last year that really got overshadowed when you look at the 2014 season as a whole.
Quarterback Tommy Armstrong has been chosen to go to media days, Mike, and I guess even myself, you have to realize that Armstrong has led this football team for over a year and a half, and he's on the Manning Award watch list. There's only 30 quarterbacks across the entire country, only one of three in the Big Ten. So is Armstrong's value bigger outside of Husker Nation than maybe we're giving him credit for? And after that, I mean, it looks like there's now a considerable gap between Armstrong and any other quarterback on the roster.
Well, I think experience obviously was big, and I think that was apparent, you know, from the beginning when Langsdorf got here and the relationship that he and Armstrong developed, and, you know, that's where it has to start, obviously. He's an experienced guy, and the offense is going to be different, but myself, you know, apparently Tommy Armstrong ran an offense a little bit similar to what they're going to do now. When he was in high school, when he was a sophomore and a junior, it was a little bit different than when he was a senior. I mean, I think I had this sense that, you know, he was some guy that they ought to just run options with, and that's, you know, that was the best way to go. And I don't know that necessarily that showed any great insight on my part, because I don't think that's exactly the kind of quarterback that he was. So I think that he's probably made a pretty good transition with the new coach, and that's kind of, you know, how that transition occurs and how he responds to Langsdorf and what they want to do offensively is a big question. But he's obviously the guy, and I think there is a great deal of value that you place on him. And I think he has that leadership ability, his ability to relate to people. That's very important. But, you know, the cliche, quarterback gets the most credit when things go right and the most blame when things go wrong. And, that's why that cliche exists. And that's where it is for Nebraska offensively. How he performs is going to determine, I think, a lot of Nebraska's success. Behind an offensive line, it needs to be rebuilt. I always like, you know, you got to look at the offensive line always. When you're evaluating these guys, whether it's running back, whether it's quarterback, how you use the fullback, whether you have the opportunity to utilize these receivers. Quarterback's a guy. And I think that it's a good piece of the puzzle. And I think that obviously Langsdorf has a proven track record as a quarterback coach, offensive coordinator. I think it's a good mix. And by the way, I agree with Sean, the special teams, Nebraska special teams add to the obvious fact that Nebraska has a special teams coach now for the first time. I just think that is going to be a big part of what Nebraska is able to do. That field position is going to be important. And again, you know, how the quarterback performs depends on field position, depends on the offensive line, depends on a lot of things, but it's a good place to start.
Steve Sipple, Sean Callahan, Mike Babcock with us as we're heading into the home stretch of our Husker Roundtable here on the Doug and Daddy Show, getting ready for Big Ten Media Days the next couple of days. Sean, for you guys that are there every single day, basically, no matter what's going on, practices or behind the scenes, you have to chuckle when you look at all the coaches that come on a staff and all the people behind the scenes, like Orion Gunderson and all the folks that have to worry about the walk-ons. Which position, in your estimation, will be most affected by this coaching change?
Wow. Well, I think the thing I've noticed is the one area they might be lacking is they don't really have very many people at all with kind of a working knowledge of the state. You know, that in-state coordinator position, they hired Chris Brassfield, an Oregon State former running backs coach, very, very qualified, very good background. But I think my one thing is they're still learning this culture of the state and, you know, where's Kearney, where's Beatrice, where's North Platte, where are all these communities around the state and what's their histories? And you can't just learn that overnight. And I think that would have been one thing I would have liked to have seen is bring somebody on this staff that would have had maybe a working knowledge of the state, you know, where they know all these coaches already. And you know, I thought Dan Jackson at South Dakota State would have been a perfect guy to bring in that role, you know, if it was available. But obviously you get Brassfield with his years of experience, and I know he's doing a great job. The coaches locally have said he's been great to work with. So by no means I'm saying that was a bad hire, but you just wonder what kind of knowledge do they have of the culture and around the state. And it's very important, as Bill Callahan learned and others have learned, that you better know your way around this place and you better know whose hands to kiss and whose hands to shake and everything else, because it's, people are pretty sensitive around here about the in-state politics. And, you know, you hope that somebody's bringing them up to speed of all the little nooks and crannies you have to know about this state, because it's more than just coaching football here in Nebraska.
Mike, what do you think? I mean, the Vegas boys are pretty smart, or else they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. And when they put the college odds out, over under on the Huskers and a couple of their big time games, a lot of the sharks, so called, or the people in the know, moved it against what, kind of just saying, hey, we don't think Nebraska's going to be there. And I've got that as a perception out there. And then I see that Nebraska's strength of schedule is beyond the midway point of Division I. When you see and hear all that stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with what goes on the field, does it influence your thoughts on what the season could be?
No, it doesn't influence my thought, but I mean, you're right. The folks in Vegas, they seem to have a pretty good insight in what kinds of things are going to happen. But you just don't know. I mean, we don't know beyond what we saw in the spring and what I talked about earlier. There's this enthusiasm, this optimism. You know, things are. Mike Riley's a good guy and a very intense competitor and so forth. We just don't know how these pieces are going to fit together, and I don't know what the expectations, my expectations are. I know what the fan expectations are. You know, it starts with at least 9 wins, and you don't get blown out, and you make a run at the conference championship. People want those things right away, and there's going to be a lot of pressure on this team, this staff. Because of the expectations, because of what Sean said earlier about Nebraska football, how important that is, and understanding the state, and how that all plays into what this football program is. The most important thing from an athletic standpoint in the state, it's the only game in town kind of thing. And I don't know how those pressures are going to affect this group of players. And we've talked about some significant areas where there are concerns, linebacker and so forth. I don't know how it's going to fit together. I know the optimism is there. There's great optimism, and I've heard people say, oh, yeah, I think Nebraska's going to make a run at the Big Ten championship and, you know, whatever. I don't have that. I don't have that expectation. I don't say it wouldn't happen. I don't say it's going to happen. I don't know. Change is a, change is a big thing. I remember Bill Callahan's first year, and after the Colorado game, he made the comment about it's only one game in one season, which immediately, you know, said, hey, you don't quite understand what it is at Nebraska yet. There's no such thing as one game, one season. Nah, it's not that simple. And so we'll see how things go. But I know the expectations are there. I think that probably most people would look at that and say, well, that, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. Nebraska's going to be better than that because the expectations are there. That's what people want. But it's wait and see for me. I want to see how this team responds. And I think we'll find out fairly quickly. Opening against BYU is a pretty good challenge. And you play Miami at Miami, third game of the season. We'll find out some things fairly quickly, I think.
Well, let's finish it up with just a couple more questions here on our Husker Roundtable. Sean, on Monday, the unofficial media poll came out from Cleveland.com. Nothing really made me raise my eye except that if Indiana does indeed finish dead last in the East, that'll probably be the end of the Coach Wilson era. Was there anything there that caught your eye, and what will you be looking for in Chicago that may give you a little, insight into how things will play out this year?
Well, I think Wisconsin, you know, it's not a surprise they're picked number one in the division. I mean, a lot of it, I think it's just reputation and their consistency. They've been consistent all 4 years. Nebraska's been in the Big Ten. I mean, they've made, I believe, the championship game every year when they're in the other division as well. So it's not a shocker. I think they're the safe money bet. But, man, this Big Ten West has lost everybody. You think about it, you know, you mentioned Kenny Bell, Amir Abdullah, Grady Gregory, David Cobb of Minnesota, Max Williams of Minnesota, Melvin Gordon, Brandon Sheriff. This West division has just been depleted of all its major players, and I think that's what's intriguing. There is not very many household name guys returning in the West. Tommy Armstrong might be as big of a household name as there is when you look at this Western division. But I think if there's a year Minnesota could win the West, this is the year they could do it. They have a very tough schedule in the non-conference, though. They play TCU. They play Colorado State. So that will not be easy. And they still play Ohio State again, in their cross-divisional game. That's where Wisconsin has the edge. They don't play anybody in their cross-divisionals. They have the easiest schedule. So that's why they're the safe money bet at this point. But if you were to rank pure units, the Minnesota defense, to me, might be the best unit right now in the Big Ten West. They have three players that are on the national award watch list, two defensive backs and a linebacker. It's a very good defense, and we know Jerry Kill, his track record of controlling a game on offense and finding ways to win. This could be a year. If Wisconsin and Nebraska struggle with new coaches, kind of establish what they want in year one, you know Minnesota is an established program. They've got a great defense. They always know how to run the ball. And that might be enough for them to win the West Division.
And, Mike, I'll finish it up kind of with this right here. You look at, I've said that no matter what Mike Riley does this year, he'll either be praised or they won't blame him. If they lose, it'll be Bo Pelini's fault. If they win, it'll be he's, you know, the current savior of the Husker program. Everybody wants to know, what will Nebraska's record be this year? Do they continue the string of 9-win seasons?
I think Nebraska does continue the 9-win seasons. But it's going to be one of those seasons where, like, you know, the fans are going to be on the sideline holding up cards. You know, the record is going to be there, and then you're going to hold up a card. Is that a 9 or is that a 7 or is that a 6? I mean, everybody's going to evaluate not just the record but the quality of the record, how those wins occur, how the loss, if they're, you know, the losses, you know, how they occur. People are going to evaluate it that way. But, they're not going to jump on Mike Riley right away if the team doesn't have the kind of success that people expect. That's probably one of the advantages of him, you know, being Nebraska nice. He's an intensely competitive guy, like Reggie Davis said. You know, look at him on the sideline when people are not doing the right thing. You think he's a nice guy then? You know, he's a competitor. So I like that about him, and I think people will understand that. So I think, you know, fans will, the expectations are there, but I don't think that there's going to be a big burden dumped on him, dumped on the staff immediately because of the transition. There's going to be different. There's the same way at Wisconsin. I know that Chris has the, you know, experience there and so forth. But it's a new coach. It's a new way of doing things. And Nebraska is going to handle that as well. I think it's interesting. Sean points out, makes a very good point. Minnesota, who would think, you know, 2 years ago, who would think anybody would even say Minnesota might win the West? You know, Minnesota is down there with Illinois. We know Illinois isn't going to win the West Division. That's where we would have had Minnesota, and look where that's gone. So, it's exciting. It's interesting. I mean, there's a lot of questions to be answered in this season in the transition to a new coaching staff at Nebraska, and I think that makes an appealing season.
And last question, I always like to throw a little something far-fetched out there. Sean, that first day of practice in the fall, you usually see something, whether it's a kid lining up somewhere, a kid isn't suited up. There's always some storyline that has been kept under the rug all summer long. What do you think you're going to be writing about after the first day of fall ball?
Well, it's hard to say on that specifically, but I'm kind of curious the status on Riker Fife, and we might know that here by this weekend at Media Days. But, you know, everyone you talk to, and I've talked to multiple people close to him and around the program, he hasn't been around all summer in the workouts or in the meetings with the players. So I'm kind of curious where Riker Fife is. I mean, I think coming out of the spring, you got a pretty good idea that he was down the depth chart at quarterback. And Zach Darlington is, I think today, if you ask me, he would be my number two quarterback. So I'm going to be really intrigued to see where Zach goes from that spring game performance and kind of how he handles the success he had in that spring game and where he goes. I mean, will he be the number two, or has A.J. Bush maybe improved since the spring? So I'm excited to see a lot of those things play out here.
Well, tomorrow we'll be in Chicago getting things going the next couple of days, a new format, maybe an opportunity to learn something. I think, Sean, Nebraska is coming in under the radar for having a new coach. At the beginning, it was Riley, but now Harbaugh's going to be there on the same day, a national championship for Ohio State. I guess this is supposed to be a good thing. The Big Ten has elevated its game, and so they're getting national notoriety. But while that's happening, I guess Nebraska not being a top 10 team, I don't know if you want to use the word sneak up, but they aren't going to get bothered probably a whole lot over the next couple of days outside of us Nebraska folks.
Yeah, it's going to be Harbaugh, Urban Meyer, Mark D'Antonio with their success and being the little brother now to Jim Harbaugh. I think, obviously, and James Franklin, you know, he commands a crowd. So you're right. I mean, Nebraska is just, in some ways, a fly on the wall, but they're still going to get some attention. But a lot of that attention on Friday is going to be focused on Jim Harbaugh.
It is our Husker Roundtable. Steve Sippel did have to slide out a little early, so we appreciate his insight from the Lincoln Journal-Star, Mike Babcock, Hale Varsity, and Sean Callahan of Husker Online. Well, we always appreciate the time, gentlemen. Thanks so much for giving us an extended time this morning.
All right, hey, good talking to you. Got my notes written down for what Sip and Sean have been saying, so I've almost got them complete.
And it's not good news for Gross. They're down 7-1 after 6.
Oh, thanks.
So I wanted to hold off until the end on that one. But all right. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Sean.
Hey, thank you.
See you guys.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys. There you have it, folks. That's our first big look at Nebraska heading into fall ball, heading into Big Ten Media Days. Hopefully we'll have a few more tidbits for you over the next couple of days. But it's time for us to take off. We'll talk to you tomorrow from Chicago. Doug Dune and Randy Bushcutter there for extended bonus coverage. We'll be going till 11 to 1 or even past, depending on how much information we can bring to you on Thursday and Friday. Again, we want to thank Steve Sippel, Sean Callahan, Mike Babcock for joining us on today's Doug and Daddy Show. For our producer, Caleb Henry, this is Doug Dune saying, have a great Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow in Chicago.